Begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin daf Chaf Hei. Begin 11 lines down by the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues explaining the mission of the previous daf regarding those that are possible to be witnesses and to be judges. One of them was, Malva Beribis, if someone lends money on interest, as we explained in the previous daf, all those characters mentioned in the Mishnah were because they were biased in regards to lying because of their love and their lust for money, which includes someone who lends on interest where he's going to violate a biblical violation just to be able to get more money. Now, Amar Rava, relating to the halacha of the Mishnah, Rava says, love a bribis, if someone borrows on interest, he's the borrower and he pays interest on that loan, pasul eidus, he is invalid to be a witness for testimony, because as the Gemara tells in Baba Basa, Ayin Hamad Beis, the one who lends, the one who borrows, they both violate the negative prohibition of ribis. And since his lust for money caused him, the borrower, to violate the prohibition of borrowing on interest, so he's like a wicked person that the Torah mentions of chametz of violating an isser, like stealing, where here he's also going to violate a negative prohibition because of his lust for money. Therefore, says Rabbi, that invalidates him from being a witness. Now, that the Gemara asks, but while not within our Mishnah, we just quoted a second ago, Malva Beribis, it's only the one who lends on interest. That's a greater lust for money because he's the one that's getting he's getting the money, he's getting the interest. The one who borrows, he violates the Isser, but that's not as great. And we see the Mishnah only mentions the lender, not the borrower. So the Gemara, no, you should read it, Milva Haba Beribis. It's not Malva Beribis, but rather it's a loan, Milva, that comes through interest, which that would seem to indicate, no matter who's on which side of the loan, whether the lender or even the borrower, they are all included in this invalidation of being a witness. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha of Rava as follows. Bar Binisus was the name of a person, Asidu Beitre Sahadi. Two witnesses testified regarding him, where Chadam, one of the two witnesses, said, Kamei Didi Oizibri Bisa, in front of me, I saw him lend money on interest. Charam, the other one said, "Lididi oisvi birbisa." To me, he had lent me money on interest. So, pasli Rava la bar binisa. So, as we said before, Rava invalidated bar binisa, which is the halacha of our Mishnah. Someone lends money on interest, he's possible to be a witness. On that, asked the Gemara, but v'har Rava hudama, how did Rava invalidate him? Rava himself, we just quoted before, had said, "Love a biribis, pasli edus." If someone borrows an interest, he becomes invalid to say testimony, just like someone who lends money on interest. Now the problem now is, v'havalei, so therefore one of those two witnesses is a Rasha, is a wicked person, because he himself said that he borrowed from Bar Benisa money on interest. Now the problem is, once he's a Rasha, v'hatay ram, the Torah says, in Shemais al Tashas Rasha Eid, you cannot join together with a wicked person as a witness who is someone that suspect regarding monetary law. Now, since he himself is incriminating himself when he's trying to incriminate Bar Benisa, he himself is not valid to be witness to invalidate Bar Benisa to be an aid. So there'd be only left with one person. How did he invalidate Bar Benisa? Based on this guy's testimony, this guy himself incriminated himself, and his own testimony should not be believed because he borrowed the money on interest. Says the Gemara, Rava l'tameh. Yeah, but there's another opinion of Rava, which actually will resolve and reconcile these two other opinions of Rava's, which he goes according to his reasoning mentioned in the first parak. The Amar Rava, Rava said, Adam Karav Eitzelas, my person is the closest relative to himself than to any relative. The Ein Odom Meisim Atzmei Rasha, and therefore a person cannot incriminate himself and make himself into a wicked person. A person cannot invalidate himself based on his own testimony because a relative cannot testify regarding someone that is related to, not for his benefit or not to incriminate him. And a person is the greatest relative to himself, and therefore, what in his testimony that he was saying, it's what called pagin in dibur. He's believed to say that Bar Benisa had lent money and interest, but he's not believed on the element that he was the borrower, because since that would incriminate himself, he's not neman to say edus on himself, and therefore a person cannot make himself into a rasha, and therefore he was a kosher aid to then invalidate Bar Benisa, who had lent money on interest, and by that we have two witnesses. Relating to these halachas, the Gemara brings Ahu Tabacha. There was a certain butcher, Dishtakeach Denafka Treifosa Mitusa Yodid, that it was found out that he was selling non-kosher meat. So Pasla Rav Nachman, so first of all, Rav Nachman invalidated him from being a witness, because here he is, a person that would violate Torah prohibitions to make more money. And he removed him from his post of being a butcher. Now also, so this butcher went, Rabbi Mazie Betufre, he let his hair and his nails grow long to show that as if he's disgusting himself, to show that he repented, that he doesn't hold himself great anymore as a form of repentance. So Sover of Nachman Lachshuris, Rav Nachman thought, okay, now to validate him again because he had done tshuva. Omalei Rava, but Rava said to him, no, Dilma Irumi Kamarim. Maybe it's just one big trick. He's just putting on this whole show, oh, to show, oh, this remorse, but really he didn't change a bit. So you can't just put him back. So he asked Elamaita Kante, so what is the rectification of such a person? How do we know he did tshuva? Says the Gemara, could Rav Idi Bar Oven. Dam Rav Idi Bar Oven, he said, Achoshal al Atrefis, so someone is suspect regarding selling non-kosher meat. Ein loy takana, he does not have any rectification. He has to go to a place where they don't recognize him. Where the repentance over there is obviously not to trick people because no one, he doesn't have to prove his point to anyone because no one knows him there even. And then he'll find someone's lost object and return it, even though it's bedevah chasha, something that's a sizable amount of money. Oh, so since he's returning the lost object, most definitely we could tell that he repented from his lust for money, because here he found something so much worth money and he didn't hold on to it. And it's not just a fake and show people, because no one, they recognize him. When we hear about that, that's a proof. Or another proof would be shayetzi treifim entachas yad b'davah chasham mishaloi. If he would get rid of a non-kosher piece of meat that was worth a lot of money from his own meats and get rid of it, obviously now we know from that incident where, even though it wasn't to try to trick us because he was someone where no one knew him anyway, that would prove that he did tshuva, and then we would allow him to go back to his post. Now the Mishnah continued with another character, mafrichi yainim, those that have the doves fly, is also invalid to be a witness and to be a judge. So the Gemara asks, my mafrichi yainim, what is this psul of the ones who fly the birds? So hocha targuma, here they translated, it means, itakdeme yainach liyain, if your dove gets there before my dove, then I'll give you this amount of money, which is the racing of certain animals. In this case, the racing of doves, that's this psul of mafrichi yainim, which, as we'll see later, is essentially the same concept as Masachah Bekuvia, where it's a gamble, and therefore that's considered stealing money from the person who loses. Reb Chaman Bar Oishiyam, he says, no, it means ara. It means those who knew how to have a certain dove to fly from where they were and go certain places, would attract the other doves with it and force it to come back to this guy's who has this dove that would be used as a decoy to bring all the other doves, and there's an element of theft, of stealing other people's doves, and therefore that's what mafrichi yainim is, and therefore, again, like this common element of gzela, is going to invalidate the mafrichi yainim from being kosher witnesses. Now, so the Gemara asks on each interpretation, the one who says that the mafrichi yainim is if my dove gets to before your dove in the race, that's considered the psul of mafrichi yainim. My time alo ama ara, why didn't he say the interpretation is these doves that are used to trap and bring other people's doves to this guy? So Amalachi would tell you, because ara, that case, that's not gezela. That was instituted rabbinically just because of his ways of peace, as the Brisa teaches in Chulin Kaf Mem Aleph Mabez, that the doves of the dovecot, or the doves of the upper story of a person's house, it doesn't really belong to the one who owns the dove or to his roof, because he never really was zeich in it. He never really acquired it. It's just because ways of peace, but it's not really full-fledged theft, because they come by themselves, as the Gemara says over there in Perek HaShalom Kaf Bezim and Aleph. So since it's not real gezela, therefore that would not be enough to passel such an individual to call him mafrichi yainim. Now, so the Gemara says, "Manda ma'ara," the one who says that it's these decoy doves. My time alo amar itakte me yainach liyain. Why didn't he say the interpretation is that it's considered those who have the dove races, that the one who loses didn't really want to, and therefore it's like stealing money from him? So Malachi would tell you, no, hayna masachah bekuvia. Well, that's exactly the same case as masachah bekuvia. It's both a gamble, a risk. You don't think you're going to lose. You think you're going to win. And when you do lose, you're not really giving it wholeheartedly. So it's what's called a smacht leikanya. And because of that, it's really considered stealing by the individual who wins, who's this mafrichian. So it's the same as masachah bekuvia. Why would we say it as a separate category? But says the Gemara v'idach, but the other opinion says no, Tana Toila B'das Atzma. We said both cases because we wanted to say Masachah B'Kuvia, which is dependent on the person himself, where, yeah, that would be Asmachta, because he's reliant that he's going to win, he's not going to lose. And then V'Tana Toila B'das Yoyna, and then it says a case of Mafrichi Yoyna, which is the same idea, but that's not contingent on himself, that's dependent on his dove, on his bird. And Betzrichem, we have to say both cases. Why? Had we only said the case of Mesach and Mekuvah, the guy who gambles, who plays the cards, who plays these games with the dice, where that's dependent on himself, how well skilled he is in gambling. Hasam hu dele gamer mekni. It's over there that we would say that that's considered like theft, because the one who loses, he's like, no, I'm going to win. I know how to play this game. And therefore, he didn't make up his mind beforehand to really want to shell out the money if he loses. And therefore, when it's taken from him, it's like stealing from him. The Amar, because he's going to tell himself as a Gutin Tamad Beis, Kimli binav shoy di danet fame. I know how to play this game very, very well. And therefore, there was no doubt by him. And when he ends up losing, it's totally an error. And when he made the stipulation, it was with the stipulation that, yeah, because I know I'm going to win. And he never really intended to pay the money. But regarding the case of Mafrich Yainim, when it's dependent on his bird, so that he's not sure if he's going to win or not, because he's not his bird. He might know his bird very well, but he's not as confident as when it's himself. And even so, he stipulates, yeah, if I lose, I'll pay up. Obviously, it's out of doubt, and therefore he concludes to himself that, okay, you know, maybe I'm going to have to pay, and he is mocking his money that he lost to the person that won. So Imaloi. So then in that case, I would actually say that maybe that would not invalidate the individual. Mafrich Yainim would be kosher. So then we have to say that case too. And so too in the reverse. Had we only said the case that when he makes it dependent on his dove, the Amr, because he says, B'nik kosher tal yamilsa. You know how to play this game of the bird racing? That they had these boards of wood, and that the bang, 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 bang. And when the dove hears the noise and recognizes its owner, they're trying to get it to go faster, so then the bird goes faster. And the guy says, "Vano yadana l'nekushe tvei. I know how to bang this very well, and I'm going to win." So he's utterly confident that he's going to win, and therefore that's really a smachta, and he didn't think he's going to lose. That's why they would say loikanya, and that would make him psul. But when it's dependent on himself, he's not so confident. He doesn't know for sure if he's going to win, and therefore maybe over there I would actually say that, so therefore since he doesn't know for sure he's going to win, he's like, okay, you know what, I might actually lose, and therefore I'm going to really pay up, and therefore that should not be a psul of a form of gezeila. So tzricha, that's why I have to say that case too, to say both cases, both teila b'das asma and teila b'das yainai, are both going to be cases of asmach b'leikanya and a psul of gezeila, even though they really are the same idea, the same category, we still have to say both cases. The Gemara continues and asks Meisvia from a Braisa on the one who says that the Mafrich Yainim, or this Ara, this type of a bird that attracts the other doves to this guy's dovecot to trap other birds, and that's a form of gezeila, of stealing other people's birds. So the Gemara asks him the following Braisa. A Mesachi Bekuvi, this psul of those who play with the dice, that they're puzzle. So says the Braisa, Elohein ha-masachim bepispasin. This refers to those who play with these broken pieces of wood, which is like some form of dice. And says the Braisa, v'lei bepispasin milvarom. It doesn't mean that he plays only with the real game dice. Elafila klipe goyzim, even if he plays with nutshells, with klipe remainim, or the peels of pomegranates, meaning even these things which are not made specifically for the game, and it's just something you just happen to grab to use, even so, if you're using that to play, you're considered Mesach Mekuvya and would make a person puzzle for Eidus. Says the Braisa, Ve'ema Sei Chazarasin, and when do you know the person did tshuva, that then you could reinstate him as being a witness? Says the Braisa, Mishi Shabres Pespasein, when they break their games, they break up the dice. Ve'yachz Ben Chazar Gemur, and they do a full-fledged tshuva, then you'll know that they could be valid witnesses. And says the Gemara, what does it mean, a full-fledged tshuva? That they don't play even for fun, even without money on the table. If they're not playing at all, then you know, and they broke their dice, then you know they're really the tshuva. Braisa continues the other cases of our Mishnah. Malva Beribba is someone who lends money on interest. Says the Braisa, Echad Malva Vechad Alayv applies, as Rav had said, whether he be the lender or the borrower, both of these individuals are possible to be a witness. When do we know that they fully repented? When they tear up the documents, which are the medium for them to collect their or pay up their interest, and they do a full-fledged repentance, then you know that they did tshuva, and then they could be witnesses. Which says the Gemara, what does it mean, the Chazar Gemara? Means to say that they don't even lend their money to non-Jews, meaning that it's totally out of sight, out of mind, the whole concept of interest, where then for sure they're not going to go back to their old ways. But if he's still lending money to non-Jew, although that's permitted, but he still didn't do a full-fledged repentance, you still can't take him back as a witness. Braisa continues, and the other category, that of those who fly the birds, Elu shemamrin es ayin. That refers to those who, in Yiddish, it's called reitz on, is that they try to get their dove all fired up to fight with the other dove. That's the case of mafricha yoinim, which is basically to have one dove win over the other dove. Now, says the Brisa, we didn't say this only just for doves. If this would apply even to domesticated animals, wild animals, or to other birds, where even though it's not so common, it was more common with doves, still that would be qualified for the psul of mafricha yoinim. Says the Brisa of Emes Chazarasan, what's considered that they repented? Meshiyashabru es pigmein, when they break these boards that we said they use to bang, bang, bang to get their doves to move faster, when they break those, their tools, v'yachshvin chazar gemur, and they do a full repentance. Which the Gemara says what that means is, dafila bamidbar, that even in the desert where it's not common to trap the doves from the settlements, from people's dovecots, that nami la'avdi, that even over there they don't go ahead and do this, what we call this ara, which Rashi explains that the Gemara was just—it's actually the Gemara saying this, not the Brisa—and was only going back on that interpretation that said that it means an ara, which is the bird that's used as a decoy to trap other people's birds. Which in the midbar you're not going to trap; it's not common to find other people's doves. Even there, he doesn't do this. Now, but according to the interpretation, that it means that whose bird could get there first. So then, says Rashi, then the Chazar Gemara would mean that he doesn't even do it for free, as we said regarding Masachah Bekov. He doesn't even play the game at all, even just for entertainment purposes, that would be considered a full-fledged tshuva. The last category our Mishnah mentioned was Seichri Shvius, those that do commerce with Shemitah produce, which is forbidden. Elu Shanoisim and Noisim Meperi Shvius, that refers to those that do business dealings with the Shemitah produce. Ve'emas Echazras, and when do you know that he repented? Mishadagia Shvius Acheres V'yibadlu, when it reaches another Shemitah year, and they hold themselves back, they don't do commerce with the Shemitah produce, and they actually take their whole garden and they make it hefker for the poor people, as is the Halacha Shemitah, then you know that he repented. V'amrim Nechemi, and he says, Loichazar is Devarim Bilvadam, and it wasn't enough to just if he repents with words, that he says, oh, I'm not going to do it again. El Chazaris Mamen, he's got to do a recognizable repentance, that he has to return monetarily, that he has to go ahead and declare ownerless the Shemitah produce of his gardens to the poor people, as the Brisa says, Kate said, how so? Oymer, he says, Ani Ploini Bar Ploini, it is me, the son of that person. Kinasti Mesayim Zuz Beperi Shvius, I had gathered 200 Zuz worth of produce of the Shemitah year. And they are given as a gift to the poor people. He goes, that's a full repentance where monetarily he gives back what he had from the Shemitah produce. That's the Brisa. But one thing asks the Gemara, Ketoni Mias Behema. One thing we learn is that regarding the case of Mafrichi Yainim, the Brisa says it's not just birds, it's even the domesticated animals, wild animals, and birds. So as the Gemara, Bishlam Elamanda Amma, it's very well understood according to the one who said that what is the category of Mafricha Yainim? It's Itak Deme Yainich Liyain, that if your bird gets there before my bird, oh, then you win. I mean, there's some type of a race. So Hainin Mishkachis Labahema, so then you could say it's not just by doves, it's even by domesticated animals, because you can make any animal try to run, and when it hears and go, 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 lassie, go, and you could race, you could have horse races, and that would be the same thing as Mafricha Yainim. So you could understand how that would apply by Behema. According to the one who says that Mafricha Yainim are taking this bird and having it go to a certain extent to have it attract other birds and have it come back with that bird back to the person's own dove and steal other people's birds. So Behema Bas Hachihi is a domesticated animal qualified to do that decoy? Where what would that mean? That the domesticated animal would go out to the wild to bring back other wild animals with it back home? But as Rashi explains, but the wild animals would go and chase after it. It's not capable of doing that. So how could we say it means ara if it includes not just yainim, but even domesticated animals, which can't do that concept of decoy? So the Gemara says, yes. A domesticated animal could do the same thing. Bishar habar, by what's called the wild ox, which its characteristic is similar to a wild animal. And if a guy, if an individual has it grown up in his house, it could go out to the wild and fool the wild animals to come after it, and that would be considered on some element like a theft because of Darkei Shalom, because it's going to bring other peoples who, although they don't own those wild animals, but they're in their pits, in their yards, and it is called, however, the Shehar Bar is called a behema, a domesticated animal. As the Gemara says, the command of a Shehar Bar min behema, like the opinion who says that the wild ox is considered a form of a domesticated animal, which is machloikis, As the Gemara quotes it, we learn the Mishnah Maseches Klayim, which the significance of calling a shahar bar behema or achaya is regarding is the fats of it permitted, and do you have to cover its blood, which are different halachas regarding a behema or achaya, where we find the Mishnah has such a machlekes. Shahar habar min behema, who the Tanakama, who we're going like according to Mandama Ara, holds that the wild ox is actually a form of a domesticated animal. Whereas Rabbi Yisim, he says, Minchai is considered an undomesticated animal. So therefore, according to Mandama Ara, yeah, it would make sense to have a behema in the form of a shahar bar who we're considering as a behema. Now the Gemara continues on the theme of our Mishnah, which spoke about, as the Brisa just elaborated, regarding different individuals, different categories that are considered possible to be a witness or to be a judge. So as the Gemara Tanu, the Brisa hisifu alein, they subsequently added on to these categories, hagazlanin, a robber, vachamsanin, and someone that's an extortionist, meaning he gives money, it's just, but he forces the person to sell, the guy doesn't want to sell, he forces him here, take the money, and then he takes the item. They're also considered possible to be edim and judges. So the Gemara is Gazlin, the Raisahu. What are you talking about? They added on a robber. Robber is a biblical psul, which is the source of all these halachas. It says, Altashas Rasha Aden, and it ends Chamas. It says that the wicked person who cannot be a witness is the one who steals. So how are you saying that then they added on? So the Gemara, Loi Nitzrucha, no, is necessary not for a straight up Gazlin, of course. That's Pasul Deiraisa. What they subsequently added on was El Lemitzias Cher Shait Bekotten, was regarding the finding of a deaf, mute, or mentally deranged individual or minor. If someone steals it from the Cher Shait Bekotten, that type of Gazela was only subsequently added on later to be Pasul as an eight, because Meikarasov originally they thought Mitzias Chereshayt Bekotten regarding the finding of a Chereshayt Bekotten Leishchicha. It's not so common that they happen to find something to make whoever takes from them into a psul of Gazlan that he's not going to be kosher for a witness. And the Chacham generally don't make a gzeira on Mitzias Leishchicha, or Inami, or moreover Memei Darkei Shalom Be'alma. Really, that halacha, as the Mishnah teaches Maseches Gittin Daf Nun Tesmah Beis, when a Chereshayt Bekotten finds something, if someone steals it from them, it's not real theft because they're not people that can have a kinyan. They don't have das. It's only because of darkei shalom that it shouldn't come to fight with their father or their relative. So therefore, we would not have made them individuals who steal from them as a psul for edim. But kivin the chazu the save memaynu the kashakli. But since we ultimately saw that these people are taking money from other people and they're violating at least their tekan drabanan, which is that you're not allowed to take from mecher shayt bekotten, and they're doing it because of their lust for money, so paslin the rabbanan, so rabbanan made them invalid to be witnesses because ultimately they are suspect to take money to lie regarding testimony, because we see how much money blinds them and they're going to even violate rabbinic law. So therefore, we subsequently ended up passing these gazlanim of the findings of the Chereshayt Bekotten. The second thing that we said they added on Hachamsanin, those who force people to sell stuff to them by throwing them money and then grabbing it away from them, is because Mekarasav, originally that we thought that we did not include him in the list of Pasla Edim, is because Demekayav, ultimately he gave money, he's not stealing. Ikroy Balmahu, it's just something that happened to have happened where it's a disagreement and he says, no, I'm taking it, you. The guy says, no, I don't want to sell it. Okay, it's not a real Gazan. But Kivin the Chazud, the Kochatvi, but once they saw that the guys were grabbing away, in other words, even if he ultimately gave money, it's still on some level like Gezela, because the owner really didn't want to sell. And so what ends up happening a lot of times is first the guy grabs it away, and then afterwards he throws the money, which on some level is an element of Gezela. So Gazab Rabbanan said, therefore, the Rabbanan decreed that even the Chamsanin will also be puzzled as Edom. Says the Gemara Tanu Lent Nabrai says that Oidhei Sifra Lein. They also added on to the list more individuals. Harayim, shepherds. Hagaboyin, those that are appointed by the government, by the king, to collect certain types of taxes of the king from their fellow Jews. Vamuchsin, and those who collect customs, that they're also going to be possible to be Edom. And the Gemara explains the reason for the subsequent change to make them possible to Harayim, the shepherds. Mikarsav, originally they thought, Akroi Balmhu. It's something that just happens sometimes, that the animal that the shepherd is watching happens to go into someone else's field and starts grazing in someone else's field. It just happens to be, but the shepherd's not intending to steal from another person's field. But kiven the chazud the komachavni b'shadu l'ketchila. But once they started seeing and noticing that shepherds intentionally go ahead and have their animals go eat and graze in other people's fields, so gazber rabban. The rabban said, these guys, they will steal to save themselves money, and therefore they're suspect regarding lying falsely, so the Rabban decreed that shepherds cannot be Edom. Hagaboin v'amuchsin regarding these different types of either customs or tax collectors. Mikarsav, originally they thought, ma'idekitz l'hukashakli, what the set amount is, that's what they collect. And there's nothing wrong with collecting taxes. But kiven the chazu de kashakli yiseira, once they saw that they are collecting from individuals more than what is the set amount, and they're taking and they're packing and they're doing things wrong for monetary purposes, for the lust of money, so then they invalidated them. Now, however, Amar Rabbah, he qualifies from these two halachas. He says, Raya Sha'amr, this that we said in the Braisa, that a shepherd is possible to be an aid, Echad Raya Behem Adaka, whether it's someone that's a shepherd of small livestock, small animals, like sheep, Echad Raya Behem Agasal, whether it's someone that's a shepherd of large animals, like, let's say, like a cow. And either way, it's the same thing. Shepherds are apostle to be aid. On that, the Gemara asks, Umi Amar Rava Hachi, did Rava really say this? But V'Amar Rava, we have a different teaching of Rava that says, Raya Behem Adaka Be'eretz Yisrael. If someone is a shepherd of small livestock in Eretz Yisrael, now, Eretz Yisrael, they were more stringent regarding the damage of other people's crop because of what's called Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We want the settlement of the land, of the agriculture of Eretz Yisrael. So such an individual, he's psulim, they're apostle from being aidim. But if he's a shepherd of small livestock out of Eretz Yisrael, then he's kosher to be an aid. Moreover, he says, Roy Behem Agasa, if someone's a shepherd of large livestock, a filib Eretz Yisrael ksherin, even there it's all he's kosher. So you see that regarding Behem Agasa, no matter where the person is a shepherd, he is kosher. So how could Rabbi say the Allah of a shepherd being possible is whether by small livestock or large livestock, when he clearly said that Roy Behem Agasa, even there it's all is kosher? Says the Gemara, no, ahu b'megadlim itmar. That halacha was said not regarding shepherds, but regarding those that bring up that livestock in their homes. That even so, in Eretz Yisrael, if it's small livestock, then the individual, even if he's not a shepherd, he's just bringing them in his own home, is going to be possible to be an aid. The reason for that is because small livestock, like sheep, they slide their way out and they run into other people's fields and they damage other people's fields. So that's stealing from other people, and therefore, Rabbi Behem Adaka in Eretz Yisrael is going to be possible. But large livestock, they don't usually slide away, and it's easier to watch and to safeguard those cows. And that's why he says that even Rabbi Behem Agasa in Eretz Yisrael will be kosher. But the other halacha of Rava regarding a shepherd, he's always on the outside in the lands and the areas of the fields, then even someone that's a shepherd of large animals, said Rava, is going to be possible because he will have them let them go into other people's fields, even by Behem Agasa. So that resolves those two different opinions. One's talking about a shepherd who's on the outside, he's possible no matter what type of animal. In contrast, someone that brings up in his own home, Behem Agasa, even there it's all, he will be kosher. Says the Gemara, Hachanam Mistabra, and it's actually logical to this, what we're differentiating and saying, that someone that is a shepherd of even large animals is going to be possible. Why? Because Megatani, we learned in our Mishnah, it says, Nemonim alai shleisha roya bako. We had said previously, if someone says that, oh, I trust your father to be the judge, or my father to be the judge, or if I trust those three shepherds of cattle, which are large animals, that I accept them to be the judge. Now, the Mishnah's chiddush was that, okay, if someone accepts, so we have this machlokes, could the guy back out or not? But the inference is, it's only because he's accepting, like the case of the father or your father, where they're not really kosher judges, but you could accept. If you want for arbitration, you could use them. But the inference is, regarding these three shepherds of Bakr, that if the litigant does not accept him as the judge, that they're not trustworthy. Now, my lavla edis, now isn't it so that this halacha is talking about even for the halachas of testimony? So you see that if the person does not accept, yeah, I'll take him as a witness, he's not really kosher. Who's not kosher? The raye bakr, the shepherds of large livestock like cows, are not kosher. So you see, although Rava says the Behem Agasa are kosher, but the other halacha of Rava you see is correct from that previous Mishnah, which we see that even raye bakr are not kosher to be witnesses. So it's like, well, no, it's talking about ledina. It's talking about regarding to be judges. Regarding judges, we agree that it's going to be possible, even if we did not agree to Rabbi's halacha, that Raya Bakr are going to be possible to be Edim. I mean, we could even say Raya Bakr are Neman. They are trustworthy. But for judges, they're possible simply because they don't know law. They're shepherds. They're ignoramuses. And that's why they're going to be possible. But not because of the lack of nemanus, of trustworthiness of Rabbi Bakr, we could actually say maybe not like Rava, and wouldn't be a proof from him from that Mishnah. And actually says the Gemara, Dika Nama Diktani, it's precisely actually the way that we're answering that it's not a proof of Rabbah, that it's told by judges not regarding to be witnesses, because it says Shloisha Rabbi Bakr. The litigant says, yeah, I accept those three shepherds of the large livestock. Now, Ve'ila Edis, if it's talking about for testimony, Shloisha Lamali, why would we need three? For witnesses, you only need two. For judges, you need three. And therefore, that's an indication that it's told by judges, which therefore that wouldn't prove Rabbah's halacha, wouldn't disprove it, but wouldn't prove it, because it's talking about judges. For judges, they wouldn't be valid because they don't know anything. But for testimony, maybe they would be believed, and it wouldn't necessarily be like he says, that if a shepherd is even with Behemagasa, that it's puzzle in the fields because he takes them out and he has them eat from other people's fields. So the Gemara continues and asks, so Ve'elamai, so what are you saying? Ladina. That it's okay, that halacha is for being judges. So then the question is, my ear Yeshleisha Roy Bakr, then why does he pick specifically in the case of the Mishnah of the Tana by saying, oh, that I accept those three shepherds of large livestock? Then Kol Beit Lasad Gamri Dina Nami. Then pick anybody that doesn't know law. If we're saying it's like Rabbis Halacha, it makes sense why he picks Roy Bakr to say they're not trustworthy, and that's specifically a shepherd, and the Chiddush is even of large livestock. But if you're saying it's only because that they just don't know law, then pick any person that doesn't know. There's many people that don't know law. Why pick specifically Rabbi Bakr? That's the Gemara. No, it's not a proof, because hachakamah. This is what the Mishnah is saying. Afilahani delei shchich beishum. Even shepherds who are not amongst the settled area of the world, they're out there in the farms, in the fields, and they don't see and they don't hear any halachas of commerce. Even so, the Mishnah was saying, if the litigant accepted him as a judge, he can't back out according to the Chacham. And that was part of the Chiddush, but it's not because it's saying that, yeah, it's regarding because they don't know law. So why do you pick Rabbi Bakr? It's say, even there, he's even worse than someone that doesn't know. He doesn't know anything about business at all. Even so, if the person accepts him as the judge, he can't back out as the Chacham had said. Now, another qualification in this previous brice that we had quoted, that were added on, the shepherds, and regarding these different tax collectors, that they're possible to be aidim and judges, but Amr Yehuda, he differentiates, he qualifies, he says, Stam Raya, an unspecified shepherd, who we have never yet seen him have his animals go into other people's fields, still he's possible. We assume that he does let, like most shepherds, and he's going to be invalid to be a witness. Stam Gabai, an unspecified tax collector, until we know and have heard that he has collected more money from people than what was necessary, kasha, he will be kasha. It's only that there is that suspect, and when we find out, but in general, if it's not specified, he's going to be kasha. The Gemara actually brings an incident showing that there were trustworthy tax collectors. Avud Reb Zera, the father of Zera, Avid Gab Yusa Tleisishnin, for 13 years he was a tax collector for the government from his fellow Jews. Now, Kiava Aser Reish Nahara Lamasa, when the head of the river, meaning referring to the governor, would come to the city, so Kiava Chazi, when the father of Zera would see the Rabbanan, the Talmid Chachamim, Talmudic scholars who were from the people of the city, so Amalehem, he would tell them, according to Pasuk in Yeshaya, Leich Ami, go my people, Boi Bechaderecha, come into your chambers, into your houses. In other words, that the head of the river, who is the governor of the city, shouldn't see you, that he shouldn't see that there's many dwellers in this city, because then he's going to say, hey, there's a lot of people in this city. I should be getting a lot more taxes every single year. But the father of Zerah would try to get the people from the city to have to pay much less taxes, and we'd push the governor away, saying that, what do you mean, there's no one here in this town? Who, there's no one from here to collect from? Now, Kiyabachazi Inshi Dimasama, when he would see the regular city inhabitants, he didn't want to tell them straight out to get away from the governor in case the word gets back. What he would say was, Reish Nahara Asla Masa, the head of the river is coming to town. Ve'idna Nachis Abla Fumbra, and now he's going to slaughter the father in front of the son. Ubra Lafumab, he's going to slaughter the son in front of the father. In other words, he's going to be collecting a lot of taxes. Everybody, you know, disperse, go away, so he doesn't see a lot of people. And as we continue, Tabachovav Manalf, Ubignazu Kulam, and everyone would go ahead and hide. Now, Kiyasi, when the governor would come, so Amaliz, the father of Zerah, would tell him, Mimani Bayi, from who do you want? What do you want more taxes? There's no one to collect from. Now, Kinich and after, when the father of Zerah passed away, so as he was passing away, Amalahem, he said to the people around him, Shakulu Tleser Ma'ai the Tsirali Bisadine, take these 13 Ma'a that I have wrapped in my kerchief, Vahadrili Laplanyam, returned it to that person, Dishaklisinumine, because I had taken it from him to collect for taxes, but ended up turning on Valayat Strichli, and I didn't need it, so therefore That's the always the concern we have, these tax collectors, and he was so meticulous. As he's passing away, he was worried about it and said, and give it back to that person. So again, we see that as that halacha that he had qualified, that Rabbi Huda had said, that regarding Istam Gabai, you could be kosher, as we find that there are tax collectors that are upstanding and trustworthy people, in contrast to the Raya, that we assume, up until we know otherwise, that he is a person that allows his animals go into the other people's fields, and therefore it's going to be possible to be an aid and a dying.